My text this morning is coming from the book of Jeremiah, chapter 18, verses 1 through 6. Before I read my text, I want you to visualize, if you will, a dancer, a ballet dancer, with her graceful moves, elegance, the way she steps, the motions of her hands. She moves from her very core, from her center of gravity, finding balance as she dances and she moves. Don't worry, I'm not going to dance. She moves this way and she moves that way. And like a singer, if you'll notice, when our people are up singing, whether it be the praise team or the choir, they're breathing deeply, not just through their nose, but from their core, from their inner being. Not just their lungs and their nose, but they breathe down deep and they bring forth that glorious volume that's so pleasing to the ears of God. We like to think of an athlete who, by training and strengthening his core muscles, it empowers his whole game. He receives strength. And like the potter that we're going to talk about today, who whenever he's molding a vessel out of that clay, he centers his body around the lump of clay in order to place it directly in the center of the potter's wheel. So as we begin our worship service this morning, we want our worship to be centered in God's Word. We want our worship to be centered in the sacraments and in the community of faith, and centered in prayer. As I thought about how our lives are shaped by grace, my mind kept going back to that song about Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on us. Melt us, mold us, use us. Spirit of the living God, fall fresh on us. Before we even knew it, God was there. The creative force that gave birth to this universe was there. It gave birth to the universe. It gave birth to us as well. And His grace goes before us this morning. It connected us to God and every bit of God's creation that is around us. That grace was there before the world. It was there before we existed. We can't even imagine what it would have been like had there not been any grace at all. This type of grace is what John Wesley refers to as prevenient grace. God's love that is there without our knowledge and without our asking for it. If it wasn't for God's love being there, there have been times in my life that I don't really think I had sense enough to ask for grace. I wasn't mature enough. But God's grace was there to keep me and to lead me and to guide me. As we grow in our awareness of our place in the world, whether we're a son or a daughter or a husband or a wife, or just an average citizen, we may lose track of our initial role as a creation of God. that God is the one that created us in His own divine image. But we get pulled off center a lot of times by forces that Satan throws at us to keep us from becoming the amazing vessels that God would have us to be. If you will, please turn to the book of Jeremiah, the 18th chapter, beginning with the first verse. Jeremiah 18:1. The word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord, "Come, go down to the potter's house, and there I will let you hear my words." So I went down to the potter's house, and there he was working at his wheel. The vessel he was making of clay was spoiled in the potter's hand, and he reworked it into another vessel that seemed good to him. Then the word of the Lord came to me, "Can I not do with you, O house of Israel, just as this potter has done, says the Lord? Just like the clay in the potter's hand, so are you in my hand, O house of Israel." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. In our text today, God's word came to Jeremiah as a reminder to us today also. This recreating grace that goes before the creator-creature relationship that's between God and mankind. It brings us to the realization that, hey, we're not God. We cannot create ourselves, nor can we save ourselves. Isaiah, the prophet Isaiah, says to the rebellious people in his prayer of confession in Isaiah chapter 64, verse 8, "God, you are our maker. We are the clay. You are the potter. We all are the work of your hands." So we look at Jeremiah. He goes down to the potter's house, and he sees a potter sitting there at the wheel. And he sees the potter as he picks up this glob of clay, and he places it on the wheel. I don't know, I think all of us are old enough that we remember the old Sager sewing machines with the pedal. Well, I can visualize that the potter's wheel was something like that. That it had pedals that he kept moving with his feet, but the whole time his hands are working and molding and shaping a vessel. He works the clay. And I like to think of it as, I don't know, many people now make homemade biscuits, but I like to think of it as kneading bread or rolling out biscuits. That's kind of like what the potter was doing. Whenever Jeremiah walked in and saw him sitting there at the wheel, he was working with his hands. He was fashioning the clay. But then every once in a while, we would notice that there would be a piece of clay that the potter would take it and throw it over the bucket. The reason being, it may have had a bubble in it. It may have had a piece of trash in it. But it was not perfect. So he discarded it over into the bucket. Or it could have been just a piece of excess clay that wasn't part of what he visualized this pot to be. So he's getting rid of anything that might would cause the clay to misfire when it's put into the kiln. I have not done any carpenter work. And I don't think you would want me to. But those of you who have done any carpenter work know what the word plumb means. It's this thing hanging on a string like a nail, and it hangs down completely vertical. So that whenever you're building a building or you're putting up a wall or something, it's going to be perfectly straight. Supposed to be. That way, when you get through with it, it won't be leaning to one side or to the other side. But the potter, he takes this lump of clay and he places it in the center of the wheel. And as he spins the wheel with his hands, he has to keep that piece of clay plumbed in the center of that wheel. Otherwise, it will begin to sway back and forth, be out of kilter, and out of the center of gravity. And if allowed to continue being off center, it's liable to sling itself completely off of the wheel. As the potter keeps this balance with the clay, he throws any pieces that aren't just right, like it should be, into that bucket. But even the best of potters can have things go terribly wrong. And the pot that they're making collapses. It just flops. But the potter is faced with two choices. He can get mad, curse, and swear, and just be real angry at that lump of unruly clay. Or he can smash it down and just start all over again. But all of this is part of a normal day's work for the potter. Because everything doesn't always go just right. And he has to stop and start over. And what about those extra pieces of clay that he's thrown in this bucket over here? He doesn't throw them out. He takes them. And he takes all that clay and he remodels it and molds it and just kneads it and gets all the imperfections out of it. There's no waste. Did you know today that God is a master craftsman? He's a master potter. He doesn't make pots. So what does he make? He makes people. He makes us. And what does he make out of them? Genesis 2:7 says, "And the Lord God formed a man from the dust, and from the dust of the earth. We are made of clay." But in God's hands today, common clay can be transformed into something truly remarkable. Even though God's a master craftsman, the task of molding humanity is a particularly difficult task. You see, because when God made man, he instilled in this man something that the potter doesn't have in the clay. It's called free will. When God created us, he created us with a will of our own. And it might be a good thing that a potter does not, his clay does not have a free will. Because I can visualize that lump of clay and say, "Ooh, don't do that. That tickles." Or, "I don't want to be a pot. I want to be an urn. I don't want to be an urn. I want to be a pot. I'd be set on the stove and you can cook out of. I don't want to be that. I want to be a glass that I can drink, people can drink water out of." See what a mess it would be if the clay had a free will. But you know, we're in just as big a mess today as human beings because God instilled with us a free will to decide what we will do. I'm reminded of the story of the little boy that came home from his first day at school and his mother says, "Well, did you learn anything today?" And the kid replies, "Well, apparently not enough. They told me I have to come back tomorrow." Another aspect of this molding is that he has given the lump of clay free will. Remember that. God has given us free will.
Amen.
The reason that God keeps working with us after we are created is because he wants us to become something beautiful. He wants us to become a useful vessel. Not vessels to carry water or to hold food, but vessels that will carry the good news of Jesus Christ, of his love, of his forgiveness, of his care, and his purpose for humanity. God had a purpose when he made us. He made us to love him and to tell others of his love. But here again, something can go terribly wrong. Just like the potter that Jeremiah was watching, sometimes it's those people around us or our worldly attitude that cause us to spin out of shape and develop an attitude, and our free will comes to life. And we become something that's not in the shape that God would have us to be. Sometimes it's because of events or disasters in our lives that have overwhelmed us, and we no longer feel the master's hand on us. I'm sure that I know I have in my life, and if you would be honest with yourself, you have too, had times in your Christian experience that you felt like God was a million miles away. You pray and it's like you're praying to the wall. Where is God? My life is spinning out of control. What can I do? I'm at my rose end. Then there are times when we have lost our way as disciples of Christ, and we no longer believe that Jesus has total claim on our life. And our loyalty to God becomes a second priority. Regardless of what the reason may be that we go astray, I want to assure you today that God is always there, wishing to reshape and remake and renew us, to make us into the beautiful people that he intends for us to be.
Amen.
What's so sad is that sometimes the only thing that God can do is to break the clay down into a lump and start over again. I've often made the remark that I've been a Christian most of my life. I've depended on God. I've dedicated myself to try to do what God wanted me to do. But there have been times that I had to pray and ask God to forgive us and say, Lord, you're the potter. I'm the clay. I've made a mess out of things. Lord, just break me down and help me to be humble and reshape me and remold me and make me to be the obedient Christian that you would have me to be. This is what Jeremiah warned the people of Israel about. Because of their greediness, their arrogance, and their tolerance of injustice and idolatry, God would need to break them down. Otherwise, they would never reach their potential as God's chosen people. If you read your Bible and look back, you'll see that all through history, God was constantly having to break them down and reshape them and remold them because they took their eyes off of God. They began to worship the idols and let things come into their hearts and into their lives that was not pleasing in the sight of God. So they had to be broken down and started over. But you know, God broke them down. And he demolished them. But he didn't throw them away. He didn't throw them out into a rubbish heap and say, I'm through with you. But he would break them down. And once more, he would start over from the beginning to mold them and make them and shape them the way that they should be. It's okay to be broken down by God. There's nothing wrong with that. If you're not being broken down by God, there is something wrong. Because you've lost your contact with the master craftsman. It's not a comfortable experience to be broken down. Even when you're broken down by the loving hands of Almighty God, it's still uncomfortable. It had to happen to Israel as a nation, and it happens to many individuals today. We do need to be broken down by God and to let the Master start again remolding us. God does this in a lot of ways. He does it through speaking His clear word to us through the Scriptures. He does it by giving us the Ten Commandments to live by. God gave Moses the Ten Commandments, but they have been handed down from generation to generation to generation over thousands of years, because His word is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Whatever God says in His word, back to Moses, all of those thou shalt nots applies to us today. And when we forget, God has to break us down. Something has to happen to bring it to our attention a lot of times that we're getting off center. We're losing our focus on what we need to be focused on. Sometimes it could be a broken relationship with God and with people in our lives that cause us to become off-center. We today, and I say we, me and you, are like the wobbly pot on the potter's wheel. We're imperfect, and we're not the beautiful creation that the master potter intends for us to be. Our weaknesses, our defects are laid bare by the Word of God. When we read God's Word and study His plan for our lives, He tells us how we should live, how we should walk, how we should love our neighbor as ourselves. And when we look at ourselves, we realize that the potter needs to start again with us. This starting again begins with our trusting in God and turning to Him in repentance. You say, well, I'm a Christian. I am too. But every day of my life, I make it part of my daily prayer. Lord, if I have sinned in thought, word, or deed, God, please forgive me. Because I don't want anything that I do or say to stand between me and you, and me be the cause of somebody not accepting you as their Savior. I don't want to be the cause of somebody being eternally lost. Yes, repentance is a painful business. It strikes not only our comfort zone, but it strikes our pride. I've been a Christian for 40 years. I'm not fixing to get up in front of a church or let anybody know that I need to ask for forgiveness. That would be embarrassing. Not only would I be out of my comfort zone, but I don't want nobody to know. I'm not going to air my dirty laundry for everybody to see it. But we have to air that dirty laundry for Almighty God to see it. Because He sees it and He knows it. But it's us that needs to repent. It's letting go of familiar things in our life, the distorted shape of our lives, and going back into that shapeless lump of clay. It's becoming a nobody that we might, by the mercy of God, become a real somebody. A somebody that's made by the potter. And they have become a joint heir with Jesus Christ. We become a somebody who in God's eyes is about as perfect as anybody can get. Not because of anything that we have done, but because of the blood of Jesus Christ. Our repentance today is a work within that free will that I mentioned earlier. It must come from inside of us. Then and only then can the Master begin again. He can't reshape and remold us if we're happy the way we are. It's a matter of smashing down that clay in our lives. Smashing down that free will so that God can mold us. And when that clay is smashed down, then God carefully uses His strong, loving hand on that rough clay, and He makes something new and beautiful out of our life. In the Bible, this is called rebirth or the second birth. In John 3:7, Jesus says, "Do not be astonished that I say to you, you must be born from above. Our God is not a throwaway God. He's not going to throw us away because we make a mistake, because we stump our toe and fall, or shall I put it bluntly, say, because we sin. He's not going to throw us away. But He's standing there with loving, outstretched arms this morning, waiting to draw us back to Him and to reshape us and to remold us into the vessels that would be pleasing to Him. God does not discard us. Our God is a Savior who is always willing to start again and gladly makes us into perfect pots. No matter what our age may be, no matter what cracks or flaws may be in our pot, our God is not a throwaway God. He's not tossing us to the curb because of our race, color, creed, or whereabouts in Tallahassee we live. God loves us. And if we will only use this free will today, this God of love and this God of power that I'm talking about will remold us and remake us if we will only turn to Him. Amen.